saved that girl the time that night, but damn near, damn near. While I was laying there, trying not to think, I heard old Stradlater come back from the can and go in our room. You could hear him putting away his crummy toilet articles and all and opening the window. He was a fresh air fiend. Then, a little while later, he turned off the light. He didn't even look around to see where I was at. It was even depressing out in the street. You couldn't even hear any cars anymore. I got feeling so lonesome and rotten, I even felt like waking Ackley up. "Hey, Ackley," I said in a sort of a whisper so Stradlater couldn't hear me through the shower curtain. Ackley didn't hear me, though. "Hey, Ackley!" He still didn't hear me. He slept like a rock. "Hey, Ackley!" He heard that all right. "What the hell's the matter with you?" he said. "I was asleep, for Christ's sake." "Listen, what's the routine on joining a monastery?" I asked him. I was sort of toying with the idea of joining one. "Do you have to be a Catholic and all?"
"Certainly you have to be a Catholic. You bastard, did you wake me just to ask me a dumb question?"
"Go back to sleep. I'm not going to join one anyway. The kind of luck I have, I'd probably join one with all the wrong kind of monks in it. All stupid bastards. They're just bastards." When I said that, old Ackley sat way the hell up in bed. "Listen," he said, "I don't care what you say about me or anything, but if you start making cracks about my goddamn religion, for Christ's sake..."
"Relax," I said. "Nobody's making any cracks about your goddamn religion."
I got up off Eli's bed and started towards the door. I didn't want to hang around in that stupid atmosphere anymore. I stopped on the way, though, and picked up Ackley's hand and gave him a big phony handshake. He pulled it away from me.
"What's the idea?" he said.
"No idea. I just want to thank you for being such a goddamn prince, that's all," I said. I said it in this very sincere voice. "You're aces, Ackley kid," I said. "You know that?"
"Wise guy. Someday somebody's gonna bash your..."
I didn't even bother to listen to him. I shut the damn door and went out in the corridor. Everybody was asleep or out or home for the weekend, and it was very, very quiet and depressing in the corridor. There was this empty box of Colano's toothpaste outside Leahy and Hoffman's door, and while I walked down toward the stairs, I kept giving it a boot with this sheep-lined slipper I had on. What I thought I'd do, I thought I might go down and see what old Mal Brossard was doing, but all of a sudden, I changed my mind. All of a sudden, I decided what I'd really do. I'd get the hell out of Pensy, right that same night and all. I mean, not wait till Wednesday or anything. I just didn't want to hang around anymore. It made me too sad and lonesome. So, what I decided to do, I decided I'd take a room in a hotel in New York, some very inexpensive hotel and all, and just take it easy till Wednesday. Then on Wednesday, I'd go home all rested up and feeling swell. I figured my parents probably wouldn't get old Thurmer's letter saying I'd been given the axe till maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. I didn't want to go home or anything till they got it, and thoroughly digested it and all. I didn't want to be around when they first got it. My mother gets very hysterical. She's not too bad after she gets something thoroughly digested, though. Besides, I sort of needed a little vacation. My nerves were shot. They really were. Anyway, that's what I decided I'd do. So I went back to the room and turned on the light to start packing and all. I already had quite a few things packed. Old Stradlater didn't even wake up. I lit a cigarette and got all dressed, and then I packed these two Gladstones I have. It only took me about 2 minutes. I'm a very rapid packer. One thing about packing depressed me a little. I had to pack these brand new ice skates my mother had practically just sent me a couple of days before. That depressed me. I could see my mother going in Spaldings and asking the salesman a million dopey questions, and here I was getting the axe again. It made me feel pretty sad. She bought me the wrong kind of skates. I wanted racing skates, and she bought hockey, but it made me sad anyway. Almost every time somebody gives me a present, it ends up making me sad. After I got all packed, I sort of counted my dough.
I don't remember exactly how much I had, but I was pretty loaded. My grandmother just sent me a wad about a week before. I have this grandmother that's quite lavish with her dough. She doesn't have all her marbles anymore. She's old as hell. And she keeps sending me money for my birthday about 4 times a year. Anyway, even though I was pretty loaded, I figured I could always use a few extra bucks. You never know. So what I did was, I went down the hall and woke up Frederick Woodruff, this guy I'd lent my typewriter to. I asked him how much he'd give me for it. He was a pretty wealthy guy. He said he didn't know. He said he didn't much want to buy it. Finally, he bought it, though. It cost about 90 bucks, and all he bought it for was 20. He was sore because I'd woke him up. When I was all set to go, when I had my bags and all, I stood for a while next to the stairs and took a last look down the goddamn corridor. I was sort of crying. I don't know why. I put my red hunting hat on and turned the peak around to the back the way I liked it. And then I yelled at the top of my goddamn voice, "Sleep tight, you morons!" I'll bet I woke up every bastard on the whole floor. Then I got the hell out. Some stupid guy had thrown peanut shells all over the stairs, and I damn near broke my crazy neck. 8. It was too late to call up for a cab or anything, so I walked the whole way to the station. It wasn't too far, but it was cold as hell, and the snow made